Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Center for Science and Culture. I'm Robert Crowther at Discovery Institute in Seattle, and joining me today from Germany is Gunter Beckley. Hello, Gunter.
Hello, Rob. Nice to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, too. If our listeners have seen the new documentary about Michael Behe and molecular machines called Revolutionary, then you will remember the story of a curator of the State Museum of Natural History in Stuttgart found himself at one point sort of losing his Darwinian convictions. That was Gunter Beckley. And I will let him tell you just a little bit about himself, his background, and set the stage for our discussion. So, Gunter, maybe you can kind of just give us a little bit of a snapshot of what your area of expertise is as a paleontologist and sort of what you've done in your research over the years.
Right. So I'm a paleontologist, especially a paleoentomologist. So I'm working on the fossil record of insects. I was interested in insects and in fossils from very early childhood and consequently decided to study biology and paleontology at the University of Tübingen. There I graduated in 1999 with a summa cum laude dissertation, made my PhD there, and in the same year became curator for amber and fossil insects at the State Museum for Natural History in Stuttgart, where for 17 years, by the way, a second successor of the famous Willy Hennig, the founder of cladistics. And at this museum, in this position, you have basically three kinds of tasks. One is, of course, is maintaining and expanding the collections, and it's scientific research on the material, and also public outreach, which includes presentations and exhibitions. And as is shown in the documentary Revolutionary during the Darwin Year special exhibition, for which I was responsible, I came in contact with intelligent design arguments and became skeptical of neo-Darwinism. But, of course, I still work, and I'm very much interested in the fossil record and paleontology, and especially the fossil record of insects, which are the biggest groups of organisms in terms of species.
Right, and that being your area of expertise, you have actually discovered some various new, so to speak, old species through fossils, and have even had some of them named after you. Is that correct?
That's correct. So I've described, I have lost count, actually, but certainly more than 160 new species.
Wow.
Even three new orders. Orders are these big categories like beetles, and then you have 600,000 species of beetles. So there are three new insect orders described by me, which is comparable, if you, let's say, would compare it to physics, not just discovering a new way to make a car pass or something like applied science, but discovering a new elementary particle or something. So I did some important research in fossil history of insects, also in the time when I was still a Darwinian scientist, on the evolution of structures like insect genitalia or insect wings. And there were, I think, about eight species named after me, and even a family named after me, which is different, let's say, if you compare it to this name a star thing, which you can buy for $100 present for your spouse. This naming of new species is done by other colleagues, and if you look in the publications, you see that this naming is based on the scientific impact somebody had in the field of science. So, yeah,
That's very impressive. So you've had a long career. Obviously, you've had quite a bit of recognition from your colleagues and your peers. And most of that time, correct me if I'm wrong, you just basically accepted the Darwinian, you know, evolutionary theory and just went with that because that's what you thought for most of the time was correct. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. That was true till time around 2008, in the middle of the preparations for this Darwin Year exhibition, where I started to read these books and to deal with the arguments and explore the arguments. And then I started to have doubts, actually unrelated to any religious conviction. So at that time, I was neither a Christian nor a theist, I was not a materialist anymore, but was interested in some kind of a process philosophy, Whiteheadian process philosophy. So I had no religious reasons to doubt Darwinism. It was purely scientific issues that made me doubt the leading paradigm.
Right, right. I'm just going to let the listeners know, if they want to see the whole story sort of how you came to terms with Darwinian evolution versus intelligent design and what it was in the research that led you to sort of changing your position, that story is told really well in Revolutionary, the movie about Michael Behe, and they can watch that for free online now at revolutionarybehe.com. It's revolutionarybehe.com. And there's the whole movie there, which you can watch, which I would recommend doing. And you can also watch just some standalone clips, including the one about Gunther, where his story is told, if you're interested in that. So that was around the Darwin anniversary years, 2009. And it's then and then after that that you began to be more public about your advocacy of intelligent design. Is that right?
Actually, it took some years. And becoming public was then more related with having converted myself to Christianity. And then, of course, you had an incentive to risk your career over this issue. Before, it was more or less a private hobby to be interested in these kind of metaphysical questions and scientific questions. But I became very outspoken as proponent of intelligent design late 2015. And then it took just 2 or 3 months till negative reactions were coming in from colleagues, and especially the head of our museum. And the details you can also read on Evolution News, what happened.
I would recommend that people do that. They can go to evolutionnews.org. There's a lot of information there about the story of Dr. Beckley and then how you became a senior fellow here with Discovery Institute. And maybe that is what leads us to the discussion I really want to have today a little bit about Wikipedia and what happened to your entry at Wikipedia. And some of the listeners may know it was deleted. And I'm just wondering, how did you come to find out that all of a sudden you're on Wikipedia, your expertise is being acknowledged there, they talk about your research, and then suddenly it's just gone? What happened?
Actually, the page was up at least since 2012, and in recent time, I regularly check the page for vandalism because everybody can edit at Wikipedia.
Right.
And since I'm now more active with my ID research, I suspected that you could find some vandalism in the way of Beckley, the crazy creationist, or something like that. So I checked the page in the first days of October. Noticed this deletion note at the top of the page, and by this discovered that the page was suggested for deletion. There is a deletion discussion within Wikipedia where editors and people working on Wikipedia discuss the reasons for deletion. I myself did not involve in the discussion because, let's say, I have a conflict of interest. I made a single entry and posted some arguments and a list of independent sources that would establish my notability, but otherwise didn't involve myself in this thing. Also because personally, I have to say, I couldn't care less if I'm included in an internet encyclopedia or not. But I fear that in this case, it really does matter because it's not just about me, but people, when they go to the internet today to look for information, especially if it is on controversial issues, they look at Google and Wikipedia, and those people who control these platforms, they control basically what people tend to believe about these controversial issues like climate change or intelligent design. And if you look at Wikipedia, you clearly can see there is a bias. There's on one side, there's clearly a liberal leftist bias, but there's also an atheist, materialist, scientistic bias. And I think that is dangerous for a free society, that such important information for the general public are under control of a kind of mafia of editors.
Yes.
Who dominate certain topics. So some people think Wikipedia is anarchic and is free and you could just correct the bias by editing the issue yourself. But that would be naive. If you try to edit something, even if it's just demonstrably erroneous statements, then they are immediately reversed by this kind of mafia who don't want these changes, and you are out of luck to change anything.
We've run into this a number of times around pages at Wikipedia that deal with intelligent design in one way or another. And so in your case, here's a scientist who begins to be more public about essentially converting from a Darwinian viewpoint to an intelligent design viewpoint. And what happens at Wikipedia is they decide to delete your page, sort of erase you. And the reasons and the story behind that are what I find quite fascinating. The reason given is that you are not notable enough. So,
yes, I'm irrelevant as a scientist.
Right, because, you know, having species named after you, having families and orders named after you, having hundreds of scientific publications that you've authored, and being a curator at a museum for so long, that's not notable, apparently. That's not
that doesn't count
in your field.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think the important thing is to acknowledge that, of course, the question is not to deny that there have to be notability criteria for encyclopedia.
Sure.
So, for example, some years ago at Wikipedia, it was discussed if only deceased people should be included and not living people. And then I would be more than happy not to meet the notability criterion. So the question is not notability criteria, yes or no, but the real question is, was this page deleted because I failed to meet the existing notability criteria? Or was something else going on in terms of censorship of unwelcome dissenting views like intelligent design? And I think there is strong evidence for that.
Yes, there is strong evidence in your case specifically. And when looking at the editors at Wikipedia themselves who maintain these pages, as you pointed out, you can't just get into Wikipedia and make a change very easily. There are editors in charge of sections and pages who monitor those, and with good reason. I mean, we don't want people just going in and putting in all sorts of ridiculous or erroneous information. At the same time, it does open the door for a bias to come in. And the editors who were looking at your case are self-described anti-ID people, self-described atheists, anti-religious, very kind of fringe views in science even. And humorously, they're 23-year-olds who also identify as having an alter ego that's a 500-year-old wizard and other kind of odd things. They're not scientists. They're not researchers. They have no expertise in your field. And yet they're making the decision on whether or not you should be acknowledged as existing as a scientist on Wikipedia.
Exactly. I think this is a strange combination that on the one hand, you have this large group of, let's say, teenaged fellows who are very active at Wikipedia because they have a lot of time to spend, but they are pretty much incompetent in certain fields. So I think 23-year-old Jojo was not really qualified to decide about my scientific impact. But of course, there are other people, and one of the leading activists for the deletion of my page actually was a scientist himself, David Epstein, who is a computer scientist at the University of California. There are two strange things about him. One is a minor issue. He has a Wikipedia entry about himself, and I think if you look at this page, it's quite dubious if he meets the notability criteria.
Yes, that's right.
And he was asked about this in the discussion, didn't answer. He was also asked by other people. I think David Klinghoffer contacted him and he didn't respond. But of course, that's a minor issue. And there is a page on Wikipedia which is called Other Stuff Exists, because that's a common argument against certain deletion discussions to say, well, but other pages exist which are similar. So that would not be important. But what I think is really important with David Epstein is that he showed his true colors by posting a link to the deletion discussion on a internal notice board on Wikipedia, Fringe Theory. And before this posting, most of the entries were for keeping the page, and afterwards, because of course most people who are on this Fringe Theory's notice board are editors hostile to intelligent design, afterwards the majority of votes coming in were pro-deletion of the page. And the fact that he posted it on Fringe Theory's notice board, not on Paleontology notice board, shows that the issue was not my academic notability as a paleontologist or scientist, but my support for intelligent design, which they consider, of course, as a fringe theory. So I think the real reasons are quite obvious. And they had any possibility to change the page because it was criticized that some sources didn't meet certain standards, which may even be correct. But in the discussion, there was not only my posting, but several other postings noted a lot of references to independent, reliable sources like BBC, New Scientist, Scientific American, National Geographic, which would have established my notability, not to speak about the described taxa named after me, or the fact that I have a ResearchGate index higher than 85% of the 10 million scientist members of the ResearchGate platform, organized the largest Darwin Year event in Germany, won the Volkswagen Ideas competition for the Darwin Year, or by the way, also constructed the most comprehensive existing phylogenetic tree with 23,000 fossil and recent taxa still online on the museum website. So there were a lot of information available at hand for those guys who are responsible there. They could have improved the page, but that was, of course, not their goal. They wanted to get rid of the page because I'm a kind of person that should not exist. And the reason, I think, is because some people said, well, there is no bias against intelligent design. Look, there are still pages for Michael Behe or Bill Damski or Steve Meyer. But the difference is, on the one hand, of course, those pages are heavily biased.
Yes, they are.
Misrepresenting these people as well. But also, they are mostly either philosophers of science or molecular biologists or biochemists. The problem with me, I think, which makes me a little bit dangerous, is that I'm an evolutionary biologist, a paleontologist, who changed his mind on this issue of evolution versus intelligent design based on scientific evidence. And I think people like me should not exist in the worldview of most of people who visit Wikipedia, fringe theories, notice boards. So I think that makes me to a target to delete the page.
I absolutely agree. You're the kind of person that they don't want to be recognized. They don't want other people to know that there are scientists such as yourself that look at the scientific evidence and come up with a different view of it, you know? And
right.
So they figure by getting rid of you, it's sort of like you go down the memory hole to be forgotten forever. But sadly, yours is not the only case. You mentioned some of the other pages that are still there, but are heavily edited and biased against the people that they are representing, such as Michael Behe and Stephen Meyer and others. And
right.
David Klinghoffer at Evolution News has done a lot of reporting on this, and I would strongly recommend for people to go to evolutionnews.org, search on Wikipedia, and you can follow David's coverage of this over the past few years. Some of it's very humorous, the shenanigans that go on at Wikipedia, and some of it is very chilling, the kind of suppression of ideas and censorship, such as your case and other scientists whose biographies have been shortened or redacted to get rid of any mention of their views on intelligent design. So it's
right.
A kind of a sad story that this is where we're at, but that's the state of the debate at the moment.
Right. And by the way, the word spreads, and I was recently contacted by email on October 22nd and 26th by a professor of odontology, the field of science on dragonflies, which is one of my special fields of work. And he wrote to me that he read about this deletion of the Wikipedia page, and he wrote, and I quote, "Anyway, there is no doubt that you are one of the leading and most prolific odonate paleontologists of our time and the author of countless new taxa. Your recent erasement from Wikipedia for reasons of, quotation marks, not being notable enough is to be qualified as a simple crime, causing much inconvenience to the global scientific community at large as well." So it's not only that, let's say, intelligent design proponents notice this as a kind of censorship, but even mainstream scientists, I think, recognize that something strange is going on, that scientists who were uncontested, this page existed since 2012, nobody contested this page for notability issues before, and exactly in the year where I'm getting active with intelligent design,
it gets erased.
Presentations and research, then it gets erased. So that, of course, is a bit fishy.
Well, I am happy to have had you here. I wish we'd had a happier subject to cover, but I'm sure we will have you back on ID the Future to talk about your actual research, what new things you're involved with in paleontology, and some of the things that you've got going on. I know that there are a number of projects that you're involved with, and I look forward to having you back to discuss those in the future.
I'm happy to do that.
That will be great. Thank you for joining us, and I thank you to our listeners. Let me remind you to go to revolutionarybehe.com. You can check out the film Revolutionary about Michael Behe and molecular machines, and the clip in there where Gunter tells his story that I think you'll enjoy. And also, follow up the news coverage of Wikipedia and other issues related to the debate over intelligent design and evolution at evolutionnews.org. For the Center for Science and Culture, I'm Robert Crowther. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.